Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ah, yes, time to rise and grind on a glorious Friday morning right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. This is the early line, and today it's Donnie Wrightside along with Joe Ranieri, and we got 3 hours at all the hottest topics across the sports landscape. Our job today is to recap what happened last night, transfer that information over today, but also, Joe, get the people set up for a fantastic weekend. Joe Ranieri's here for 3 hours. The question is, will his energy be brought to the occasion?
I'm sorry, you're talking to me? Yeah, absolutely, Donnie. I am ready to roll here on a Friday. I wish I had better news about my Yankees or your Phillies today, but unfortunately, things are going from bad to worse. Yes.
This is going to be an interesting time because I was at the Ball Yard yesterday down in South Philadelphia, and things didn't work out in my favor, which when we go over that game, I'll explain exactly how my night went along. But my goodness, it couldn't have been any worse for the Philadelphia Phillies. The New York Yankees, as Joe said, seem to be slipping. But how about this? With the 55th pick in the NBA draft in the second round, the Los Angeles Lakers select Bronny James as we hit the 7-7, the hottest topics in sports. Bronny James rules day number two, and the Lakers didn't even have to make a move to take him at 55 overall. A lot of question marks surrounding this pick, but having said that, Bronny James is a Laker. It's what we always thought was going to happen.
Donnie, when the news came across, phone is blowing up. I actually had to pull over on the side of the road. I could not believe that the Lakers used a pick on Bronny. I mean, who saw that coming? Absolutely nobody. And you would have thought it was the biggest news of the draft when it did break. And I just don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get Rich Paul calling teams and being like, don't bother drafting them as if anybody was running to try and draft them. The whole thing is just head scratching to me. And I hope it works out in 5 years from now, but something tells me he won't be in the league in 5 years.
You know, the interesting part about this, and we're going to hit this in the next segment here, there's a lot of things that went into it. And also, I want to talk about the betting strategies and angles, which I actually want to wager on this, but I'm sort of kicking myself at the same time. We'll save that for a little teaser. But the NBA, look, we saw the draft go the past two nights here. It's probably going to stay over two nights. We'll see if that makes any sense in the future, but it is here for now. But also, some other business across the landscape. The Kings trade for Davion Mitchell, trade Davion Mitchell and Sasha Vezenkov to the Raptors. I mean, we're here. We're trading guys we never heard of and drafting guys we never heard of. So in the NBA, the trade machine never stops here in free agency. Picking up next week here.
Yeah. Well, and Vezenkov was a pretty highly touted guy out of Europe that never played. And he wanted out of Sacramento. And Davion Mitchell is exactly the kind of player that Toronto was looking for. And, there was somebody in that trade that seemed to be a little surprised because Apparently, we take selfies and record things when the biggest news of your career drops. And you're like, what do you mean I was traded? Like, what? Kind of upsetting there, Donnie.
I'll tell you what's kind of upsetting right now, moving over to the Diamond, the New York Yankees. If we just rewind just 2 weeks ago, riding the top of the hill, the Yankees are ready to go. Now they're injured. Their pitching staff can't get out of their own way. And the Toronto Blue Jays resurgence is on the backs here of the New York Yankees. You saw Vladimir Guerrero Jr. go yard again yesterday. George Springer woke up out of a coma and hit two home runs for the Toronto Blue Jays. The Yankees only played two. Rodon, five innings pitched, 10 hits, 8 earned runs, and 8 Ks here. Oh, no, Yankees. We're starting to slip a little bit here.
Yeah, no, third consecutive gas can start by Rodon as well. And they got some issues, this Yankees team. And could that be the catalyst to turn it around for Toronto? Because that first inning included a lot of blue base hits. A lot of things went Toronto's way. And a lot of things didn't go the Yankees' way. Maybe this is good news for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, we'll see. Eventually, something has to get started. And maybe it's just Vladimir Guerrero Jr. saying, like, hey, you know what? The Yankees do want to trade for me. I'll take back every bad thing I said about the Yankees. If the money's right and the situation is right, I'll head there. I'll tell you where the money is right, but the situation not right right now. The Philadelphia Phillies were on the top of the hill for quite some time. It is going to start to get challenging here because Dr. Donnie's in the building. When you have a left fielder that's typically your DH and just gets injured throwing a baseball with a groin injury, that's Kyle Schwarber. Number two is Bryce Harper legging out a down three single, hopefully in the last part of the ninth inning, ends up hurting his hamstring. You know what that means. That's weeks on the DL at this point. The Phillies right now lose yesterday 7-4 after being up 3-0 with a gem on the mound with your best pitcher in Wheeler. You blow that game. Multiple guys get injured. Oh, no, Philadelphia. Don't look now.
Yeah, I don't at this point in the season, Donnie, we're getting, you know, the weather is warmer. The hamstring injuries are baffling to me.
Yeah, come on
with these guys. They really, really are. And not to mention it couldn't happen at a worse time. I mean, this is Harper probably getting his second straight National League player in a month. I mean, he's been absolutely ridiculous. And we learned that it's already all like he's your starter in the National League along with Judge in the American League. You don't even have to worry about it anymore. They're that popular, and now he's not probably going to be available for that game, is he?
No, we're going to hit the Yankees and the Phillies a little bit later in the show, so get ready for that one. How about in soccer? If I got this correct, a famous band named Van Halen once said, Panama, 2-1 over the Team USA. Red cards early, angry at the coaches, disrespectful play. And then you take a look at Panama taking a swipe against one of the best U.S. soccer players late in that game. Red cards flying. Come on, U.S., you can't lose this game.
It might be the most entertaining soccer game I'll ever watch here. Guys getting tossed, man advantages, yellow cards all over the place. And you know what? Mm-hmm. Even still, the U.S. team had their opportunities in that game to finish it, and they didn't. The man advantage ultimately was a little bit too much for them to be able to handle. But they had more than enough opportunities to get at least two or three goals in that game, and they still blew it.
Yeah, sooner or later, we're going to get good as a nation at soccer. I just don't know when that sooner than later is going to be because, you know, growing up in the 1980s, soccer started to take a foothold. Sooner or later, it's going to pass the NFL, and all of our younger kids are going to start to train here. Something is just a disconnect at this point. But certainly, you can't get a red card for no reason to put you down a man. And quite frankly, I'm even shocked Team USA scored in that game, down a man early and had the lead. But, you know, playing that man short for that long a time, eventually you are going to get beat. The WNBA four-pack yesterday. How about this? Wings, Sun, Aces, and Storm win. And by the way, in that final game out west there, the Storm 89-77 over the Fever get the win and cover. Caitlin Clark 15-6-7. But how about Lloyd? 34 points in that W for the Storm.
Yeah, no, it's interesting too. That total got a lot of love yesterday late, and I think it finished just 1 point under what it closed at 167.5. So the one thing we know about the Fever is they're not really great at playing defense. So they are a over machine this year, and I don't see that slowing down anytime soon there, Donnie.
Yeah, maybe the MVP and the easy MVP of the WNBA, Asia Wilson, 31-6 in a victory over the Sky, 95-83. But Angel Reese still had an 18 and an 11 spot here doing that dirty work down the low post here, Joe.
Yeah, no, it was, and the game that I could was head scratching last night in in-game live as we're watching the Sun down about six with about a minute to go, and somehow they managed to tie that and get it to overtime and eventually win. That would have been the Mystics over the Sun would have been the upset of the century there.
How about Avs McKinnon wins the Hart, which means the MVP of the NHL? Now, I didn't get any eyes on this yesterday, but it was at the Sphere. Mm. Was it cool, Joe? Did you see any like interesting things happening out at the Sphere with the NHL?
I actually, Sharapin was in and around because, you know, he's walking the streets on the strip there in Vegas. But he it was apparently at the Fontainebleau, I believe. The Sphere is where the draft is here, but apparently he was at the Fontainebleau. And this should be his third one, according to people in and around McKinnon who believe he kind of got screwed in two other awards over the last couple of years.
NHL's in good shape with superstars here. A great season had by all. And by the way, we're all going to be in July, early next week. And you take a look at when's training camp starting? 2 months away? Does the NHL ever end? We don't end here on this morning show. We got 3 hours to hold you right here with us. We'll be right back to talk to Bronny James.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one in full effect right here on the early line. It's a glorious Friday, and next week we are going to be in the month of July, but also time keeps on ticking. The NBA now has turned into the NFL, which means we're going to probably talk about this 365 free agency coming up next week. The draft just ended. Then we'll start to take a look at the season as how it pertains next year. So good times ahead. So now let's also extend a hand here to the coach. It's James Young. Look, Donnie Wright's out here. It's Joe Ranieri. We love to talk to the coach when we're talking NBA, particularly with Bronny James. But before we get there, you were working a lot over the past couple of days, Coach. How are we feeling today?
I'm tired. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like it was a lot going through this. Luckily, I made it through. But about three cups of coffee later, I'm good. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm going to crash about 1 o'clock.
Now, Coach, one of the worst-kept secrets of this draft was we knew for months at this point LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers wanted Bronny James because you wanted to keep your superstar player LeBron James happy, but we didn't know where Bronny James was going to go. Thought process behind some might have thought, Coach, he might go 17 overall. We thought that was nonsense. The Lakers actually picked a very good player at 17 to help that team, but the question was, where was Bronny going to go with the Lakers? Were they able to hold their pick? Was there going to be a market for Bronny James and teams have to trade up? And as it turned out yesterday, while we started to watch round number two, word got around that Rich Paul was saying, don't you draft this guy, because if you do, outside of the Lakers, he's going to play in Australia. Let's start there with the news that was breaking as round number two was there, where we were getting word that don't you dare take Bronny. He's destined for Los Angeles.
I mean, what a move. I mean, hey, listen, part of me was hoping that, honestly, at 54, Boston just a mess with the whole, like, Lakers Celtics drive. We were like, you know what? We're going to send this kid to Pearl, Australia. We'll take Bronny James at 54 and watch what happens. But then I started to really think about it, guys, and it was a shrewd move by Rich Paul, Clutch Sports, you know, J.J. Redick, Rob Pelinka, LeBron James, and everyone involved. It was a setup. Basically, you don't work the guy out anywhere else besides there in Phoenix, just to kind of set the market, right? And then you have the fact that the Lakers never felt threatened enough to move up in the draft, because right when the second round started, if anybody even had an inkling of trying to do it, Rich Paul shut the whole thing down again. And if you really think about it, this is deeper, guys, than Bronny. This is Clutch Sports overall. They control a lot of the big name players in the NBA. So simply put, if you screwed over Rich Paul for Bronny, you were screwing yourself out of all the clients at Clutch Sports. Think about the sit down that took place, I think, guys, I think in a winter or spring, where Leon Rose, World Wide West, had to have a sit-down with Rich Paul to squash the CAA Clutch Sports beef just in case the Knicks wanted to trade for someone. So there is definitely levels to this. Rich Paul played chess. We all played checkers. I thought someone was going to trade up. But at the end of the day, Rich Paul shut the whole thing down.
Going to be real interesting to see how J.J. Redick, first-time head coach, is going to have to maneuver and deal with this brawny and, you know, and King here as the season moves on. Because, Coach, what is the upside for this kid here this year? I mean, even the future, what kind of NBA player are we looking at here at this point?
Well, I do think defensively he's ready. I think he can guard, even though he's only about 6'2", he's secretly strong. He can guard at the point guard spot. I do think he's a sneaky playmaker. The problem with Bronny is right there, the 36.6 field goal shooting percentage. He is not a strong shooter. So to me, you know, it's one of the things where let's see if he's better in the pros and college. I know Chris Brinkley, the renowned trainer, obviously like dropped the video, I think last night or this morning, showing Bronny knocking down shots in a workout. Guys, I train kids all the time. It's very easy for me to take a one-hour workout and clip 30 seconds and make any kid look like a WNBA all-star when I train girls or an NBA all-star when I train boys. Yeah, make three shots in a row. Clip, clip, clip. There you go. Well, what about the other, you know, 59 minutes and 30 seconds of the workout? Now, he's got to improve the jump shot. That is the key. J.J. Redick's in a tough spot. But is he? Obviously, they're all talked about it. Bronny will be at the end of the bench, but I'm sure we'll have, you know, the Griffey Sr., Griffey Jr. moment when Bronny throws a lob to LeBron or Bron throws it to Bronny, and that's going to be on the highlight reel for basically ever.
Now, if we take a look at the situation overall, right, because Bronny goes to L.A., we thought that was going to take place. But I always thought the interesting part of this is like the dynamic of Bronny James getting better as a basketball player in the NBA. Coach, you know as well as I do, a guy that's drafted 55th overall usually may not even make that roster but be sent to the G League. And that's the part I'm going to bring up. The evolution of an NBA player is you don't get better, Coach, unless you play. You can have all the practice time you want. You can have your father, who LeBron James might be the best basketball player of all time. But at the same time, you need to be getting those runs in. So talk about the Lakers here, because I know he's like he's only going to play on a one-way contract, which means the NBA. How does Bronny James get better next year if he doesn't go to the G League?
You better hope that they surround Bronny and LeBron with an all-star staff, and this is where the skill development coach really comes into play. There's going to be late night sessions. Maybe there's going to have to be some concessions of Bronny going to El Segundo, California. The last time I heard the term El Segundo is when the Tribe Called Quest said, I left my wallet in El Segundo. I didn't even know it was really a real place until again last night when I looked it up. So listen, maybe you have to send Bronny out a little bit. But to me, it's about the skill development, and it's about really, can you really try and hit a home run? Second round, you either do two things. You take a project and you hope you hit a home run, or you take a guy that went to college 3-4 years, more of a ready-made product, may not be able to be a star, but could just give you minutes in the NBA.
Yeah, it's the whole thing was an interesting situation that we're probably not going to see all that much again until another superstar who's playing in the league has his son play in the league. But I got to tell you, that price point at plus 100 for him to be drafted to the Lakers at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the minus 145s, I did take it. And I felt to myself, I really missed an opportunity. Didn't we always think he was going to the Lakers? And I just couldn't pull more of a trigger on that. Still won. Not going to be upset about that at all. Round number two. Let's handicap that next. What actually happened yesterday? We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA day number two, that second round moved along, and yes, we were talking Bronny James, where was he going to go, but it seemed like an absolute foregone conclusion that he was going to be a Los Angeles Laker. So obviously we'll have some more conversation on this, Donnie Wrightside, Joe Ranieri, and the coach, James Young, right here in the middle. But let me ask you this question, because again, we love to handicap things, and it just seems like, Coach, it was so easy for him to go to the Lakers. Now the bets across the board at FanDuel were if he gets drafted to the Lakers, and sometimes us handicappers going, what's that worst case scenario? scenario that just might happen. Answer me this, Coach, because during round number two, the Lakers had the 55th overall pick. We figured Bronny James was going there, but it was so strong that Bronny was to the Lakers. I thought, could the Lakers actually pick at 55 and not take Bronny James and then just get him as an unrestricted, undrafted free agent at that point? Did that ever cross your mind, Coach, that Bronny might not get drafted but still wind up with the Lakers?
Like this much, but then there's the whole, if you looked at the James family and the celebration and the emotion of Bronny, like that came already. They probably turned the camera on like right about when Boston was about to make the pick. They weren't having that thing on all afternoon, all evening, like every other draft prospect. They waited for Boston sounds are about to select. Hey, turn the camera on. We're about to record right now. That's basically what they did. So at the end of the day, it was something about him being drafted. Could the Lakers have waited as undrafted free agent and done it? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, they wanted to have the ceremony for Bronny that he gets drafted. I wonder now, like, how old is Bryce James? Like, could LeBron stay around for like 4 or 5 more years or do this again in like 2029? I don't know.
Yeah, well, he might own the Lakers by that point.
Oh, he's 17. Oh, 2026.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, anything is possible with LeBron James in L.A. The second round started. There was a lot of talk about Filipowski still being on the board. Toronto's on the clock, and they don't go Filipowski. They go Mogbo there out of San Fran to Toronto here. What stood out to you here about Filipowski falling to Utah, essentially?
I'm not getting into the whole Mormon older girlfriend. TMZ, that is above my pay grade. But when you look at Flip, there are things about Flip that are a little bit concerning, right? At 6'11", he's not. I don't think he is tough enough to bang and be a five. Is he athletic enough to guard fours? How do you play him in coverage? But then you look at it and you're like, he went to Utah, and minus the Mormon thing aside, he's Kelly Olynyk, like. He's literally Kelly Olynyk. And Kelly Olynyk just got traded last year from Utah to Toronto. So they got a guy that is a cerebral player, pretty decent in the low post, willing passer, you know, can shoot it a little bit. So to me, Flip at that point for Utah, I mean, I thought maybe a team that would be more of a contender and needs a backup big would go for Flip. But at the end of the day, he's sitting there at the top of round two, and you're Utah. You got to take him.
If we're looking at that second round as a whole, and I guess Bronny James is always going to get much of the gusto here when we're talking about it, but were there a couple picks that you looked at that said, you know what, I really like this pick for a certain franchise?
I love Tyler Kolek to the Knicks.
And I do too.
Tyler Kolek is just, he wins. And please don't make people think that he's going to be him. Kind of reminds me of Brunson a little bit, like coming out of Nova. Like, oh, we don't know if he's good enough. We don't know if he's quick enough. But he wins. He plays hard. He battles for every possession. He is a perfect guy to fit into that locker room. And I think that is huge. I thought the Knicks had a great draft if the guy wasn't French. Like, if the guy was French, I'm like, wait, what? But if you look at getting Kolek, right, and you look at a guy like McCullough, who the Knicks had liked, who is that Tom Thibodeau kind of Josh Hart light kind of player, defends, rebounds for his size, runs the floor, tough. And then Horty, the kid out of Germany, had 6'11", strong rebounder, good passer. You close your eyes and like, that sounds a lot like Isaiah Hartenstein right there, if you think about it. So the Knicks had a great job in the second round. I think Johnny Furphy, where he went, was fantastic. I like Pell Larson, and at the end of the day, I'm going to say it. Whatever the Miami Heat do always seems to work. So when they took Larson, I'm like, of course. Why'd this guy be an all-star in 3 years?
You're right about that. And also, sometimes the NBA just working overtime here. And by the way, I think we're here to stay. Round number one used to be condensed to round number one and round number two on day number one or day number one. Now we have a day number two. I think that's going to be here to stay. If we could make it through this draft with this type of talent for 2 days, good luck in the future here. Should be a good time all the way around. Let's talk about some of those rookies and where they wind up next year and how they perform right here on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Nearing to talk about some of these topics. Now, we'll get on-court fits next year to take a look at where these guys fit in. But let me ask you this, Coach. If we're just looking at the players at the top end of that draft, the Sarrs, the Richichets, Castle, and Shepherd, can you give me, even before they hit the court, who figures to be a perfect fit for that organization and maybe even a fit that you're like, you know what? I don't know how well this is going to work out.
I absolutely love Stephon Castle. Going to San Antonio. Here's a guy at a point of attack that is strong offensively off the bounce. I think he's a sneaky good playmaker. Didn't have to be a playmaker much at UConn, but look at the way he was in the Final Four, how he elevated his game, and wherever he needed to do, he did. But then on a defensive end of the floor, this is a San Antonio Spurs team that needs help in the backcourt. I know Devin Vassell could score, but Trey Jones is not the long-term solution. So you go get a guy with his length and his defensive tenacity on that young Spurs team with Wemby, both of them being about the same age, and you allow those two guys to grow, I think Stephon Castle is going to be absolutely fantastic. Surprisingly, the one that I think I don't know about the most, to me, honestly, is Reed Shepherd. I think he's going to be a really good pro. But now you got to figure it out in Houston, right? You're not trading VanVleet. He just got there. Are you moving Jalen Green? You have Cam Whitmore. You got all these guards. You know, what are you going to do here? You have Tari Eason as a small forward, who I think is underrated, right? I thought, for me, the better play is, I don't know how Şengün defends fives. I would have went Klingon at the five, move Şengün to the four because he's such a skilled passer, especially at the high post, top of the key area. Hopefully he can extend his range up to the three-point line and try and play that way. And if you want to go big boy ball, put Jabari Smith at the three, who's a good three-point shooter and a sneaky good defender. That's where I would have went. But I guess Houston decided to go a completely different way.
So those are some interesting numbers on the odds, Coach, for the rookie of the year. There's a couple of guys down at the bottom of that board at 20-1 that it seems like some value there with Dillingham and Klingon here to pull down this award, mostly because they're probably going to get a lot of action this year.
Well, obviously with Portland, they're going to try and move Robert Williams, who just can't stay healthy, and DeAndre Ayton, who has never been denomination, even though he's talked about it at will. But to me, you know, Zach Edey was the guy I looked at, right? And I think he was 20-1 after the draft. His price sliced in half in a day. Reason being, he's shown he could play big minutes in the NCAA tournament, right? In the Final Four, the guy basically never came off the floor. If you look at it, if Zach Edey gets 24 minutes a night, he's going to get you 8-9 rebounds, and he's probably going to get you 13, 14 points because you have the shooter in Desmond Bane, you have John driving a basket, you obviously have Jaren Jackson Jr. stretching the floor. So to me, he's in that dunk spot, and I just think in the NBA at 7'4", guys, are you going to double team him or are you going to play him straight up? So to me, I look at Zach Edey as being someone I look at. Now, you brought up someone very interesting at 20-1, and that's Rob Dillingham. Simply put, he could be the best pure scorer in the draft. And I'm going to lump in Rob in with Minnesota. What they did getting Rob and Terrence Shannon Jr. was absolute gold. Those two are electric. They're great in transition. They're great defensively. And now a team that has a starting lineup of Conley and McDaniels, Towns, Gobert, and it plays slow, can flip it completely with the second group and go Dillingham, Shannon Jr., Slow-Mo Anderson, who can play a point forward, and then Naz Reid. I thought that's absolutely fantastic. And think about the end of the game that a team like Minnesota could go with Shannon Jr. and Dillingham in a three-guard lineup down the stretch of games if you want to score. That's a problem for teams. Rob Dillingham's going to score. He's got a little bit of that Lou Williams, Jamal Crawford, go get a bucket at will. And there's not a lot of guys in this draft, guys, that are going to score in double figures. Rob Dillingham can make a case for winning Rookie of the Year coming off the bench.
Yeah, this is, it's actually a great handicapping market because so many times you see that clear-cut number one pick that you expect to be the Rookie of the Year, a la a Victor Wembanyama. We don't have that this year. It's actually 10 guys at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now at 20-1 or less to win Rookie of the Year. So if you are handicapping this market appropriately, you can make some pretty good money because the favorite is not minus 140. The favorite is a 5-1 price on Sar. We'll see how that plays out. But the WNBA last night, Coach, was absolutely popping. Four games on the card, and the Aces look like they're turning their season around. 9-6 after a victory over the Sky, 95-83 on the road. Asia Wilson, 31-6, but also still a good night by Angel Reese in the double doubles market. She continues to be successful there. But the Aces look like they're getting it together, Coach.
Yeah, listen, simply put, Chelsea Gray is back. The point guard is back. And you're going to be, well, Coach, she only gave you 8 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. No. Everybody's in their spot now, right? Chelsea Gray is the point guard. Jackie Young moves to the two where she could be really effective in scoring, got 22 last night. Kelsey Plum becomes that shooter at the three. And obviously, you have Asia Wilson at the four. And she gets you 31-6. They are as close to whole again as possible. I was honestly shocked that Reese got the double-double because I thought that they were going to keep her off the boards, but she got off to a great start. I think she got 4 or 5 rebounds in the first quarter, kind of carried the way. But still, a good performance by Chicago Sky team being in that game. Guys, these teams, the Fever, the Sky, they're starting to play a little bit better as their young players are getting acclimated to the league.
Suns almost blew it last night, Coach. Hard to believe the Mystics didn't actually get it done, but it went to overtime, and then they ended up squeaking by. But once again, the Sun is proven, hey, they are going to be in the conversation when it's all said and done, Coach. Are they not? That was impressive on the road not to get caught by the Mystics.
Well, they were getting blown out early, down by 11 points in the first quarter. I took the team total under, 71.5 for the Mystics. That thing was dead and gone by the end of the first quarter. Yep. I don't even have to look at it anymore. But the Sun showed that they can win a game a different way, which is with their offense. I will say this. If you look closely at their record, Joe, it is very much inflated. Look at their record. I know. 14-3. Their three losses, right? At Seattle, top-notch team. Home, New York, top-notch team. At Vegas, top-notch team. Go look at the rest of the schedule. Even I know they beat the Minnesota Lynx, but that was at home. So to me, look at that a little bit carefully with Connecticut Sun. I don't think they're on the level of New York. I don't think they're on the level of Las Vegas. And your question, the way they're playing, even though they lost last night, are they on the level of the Minnesota Lynx, who had a little bit of a hangover after winning the Commissioner's Cup at the Barclays?
Fever Storm last night. Take a look at that final, 89-77. Caitlin Clark had 15, 6, and 7. But how about this? A double-digit lead at the half by the Storm, fueled by Jewel Lloyd's 34 points in that game. Two things. I liked what I saw from the Storm last night, but also, what are we thinking about the Fever now, stumbling a little bit?
Well, this is the hard part of their road trip, right? They won their first game right at the Mystics. They lost Chicago, and then obviously they lose last night. This is going to be a little bit of a problem coming up the stretch here until they get back home, because now they got to go to Phoenix tomorrow. That's probably a loss. Then they got to go to Vegas. That's definitely a loss. Then they got to come home for New York. That's a loss. So a team that played better is now the schedule's gotten harder. This could be a sort of a losing streak for the Indiana Fever.
Here we go. Four games last night on that card, entertaining all the way throughout. But now we put the NBA, guess you could say, regular season in the books, because now we turn it over to free agency next week, which you know the coach, James Young, is going to be on this network and breaking it all down for the people. Take a fadeaway for the public here into the break, because we got Major League Baseball to talk about next. How about that?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Awesome stuff there, talking to the coach about the NBA and the WNBA and where we go from here. And it never stops because free agency is kicking up next week. I'm sure we'll get a lot of those reports over the weekend. Who's going where? Who's opting in? Who's opting out? Something to keep an eye on. But as a Phillies fan I am, and some Yankee fans that are probably here with us and watching, this is probably going to be one of the tougher segments over the next two to talk about, because there's some things about, hey, we're having a fun season, this summer is going to be awesome, and then it turns into, I don't know if that's going to be the case. Let's start here. The New York Yankees, boy, they were just cruising along for months on end. The starting pitching staff that we looked at to come into, or should I say come out of spring training into the season, I don't know what we're going to get. Look, maybe the best staff in Major League Baseball, if you include the bullpen. The hitting was unbelievable. Juan Soto was tremendous. Aaron Judge, both of these guys could win the MVP in the AL. Stanton was having a solid season, and this 1-9 looked really good. The sky was the limit. And I came on this show, Joe, routinely and said to the people, you know what? Far and away from me, the Yankees are the best team in the American League. Still a long way to go. Still a very good record of 52-31. Before we get to the Toronto game yesterday, how are we feeling about the Yankees? Are the storm clouds starting to gather over the Bronx right now?
Well, I mean, the question is, at 52-31, Donnie, if we cut the season in half, and right, we're almost at the halfway point, have they done what they accomplished to do? I mean, they're right up at the top there with Baltimore in the American League East, and one of the best teams in the American League record-wise. There's going to be ebbs and flows to a season. This wasn't a team I had pegged like everyone else did with the Dodgers. Oh, they were going to have 106 wins. They were going to roll through. No. We're at the halfway point, and while this has been a bump in the road, the reality is 52-31. If you would have told me that back in February, that at this point, this is where the Yankees were, I don't know any Yankee fan or the New York Yankees itself that would be like, oh, no, absolutely not good enough.
I see, and I know exactly where you're coming from, and it's the right stance technically to have, where you just say, you can't just take the short term here. Take the full picture, because you are what your record says you are. Would you be like to play much better on the diamond right now? Absolutely you would. But the question marks are going to arise. Is Gerrit Cole going to revert back to that Cy Young award-winning pitcher that we've seen over the past couple years, or is he going to have more struggles here with his shoulder as he comes back into Major League Baseball? Carlos Rodon was having a fine season, got blown up yesterday. 5 innings, pitched 10 hits, and 8 earned runs here. But also, let's take a look at the game itself, right? Toronto, a nice victory. Still 37-43, underwhelming on the season. Way too much talent on that baseball team to be under 500. But also, you see, maybe they can get back into the race. And I'm not talking about winning the AL East at all, but into that wild card race. They had a good day yesterday, beating the Yankees. Now they sit at 37-43. I talk about this so many times with the Houston Astros. Like, I gave up on them. And then you look at them now, like, hey, look, 500, and here we go. We might actually be a playoff team now. What are our feelings about the Toronto Blue Jays after that victory yesterday against the Yanks, 9-2?
Yeah, I mean, congratulations. You won a game. But the reality is this team is very much in the discussion to fire sale it. And that could very well happen. There's just not – who else are you going to fire here, Toronto? You've been pointing fingers at everybody else. I mean, now it is just time to make the decision. Hey, listen, this is not what we thought it was going to be. And, yes, Springer got a couple of home runs last night. But prior to that, dude's hitting 190. He's batting sixth in your lineup. It's not working across the board. The bullpen is horrific. I would not be shocked if Toronto is an absolute fire sale here over the next month, Donnie, and they start to rebuild ASAP.
And you know what? Also, it's a good point you bring up, too, because sometimes you just have to see what the players are talking about, which means they're getting information from their agent, who's probably talking to multiple front offices, including their own. Like, the stance change, because most people, and smartly so, when you're in a city, they ask you a question, Joe. Hey, man, do you like it in Toronto? No better place to be. I don't want to go anywhere here. That's what we saw for a lot of Vladdy Jr.'s career. Now we're starting to hear where it goes just out of nowhere. Hey, by the way, those things that I said about the Yankees, I really didn't mean that. Like, it's a business. I understand. If they want to trade me somewhere, including the Yankees, you know, I'll go there and play baseball. So some of those things, you're right. We might be on the verge of a fire sale, but also we know our general manager, hey, no, I don't want to trade anybody. We just went 5-1 in our last 6 games. We can really do this thing. Don't take that fool's gold into the equation. Take that big picture look, and we'll see if that works out. Big picture look for the Baltimore Orioles, I think they'll be just fine. 51-30 on the season. They broke the bats out yesterday, and I thought they would. 11 runs on 14 hits, battering around John Gray, who gave up five innings, 9 hits, and 8 earned runs. That's a feel-good win. Burns was on the mound. You're ace. You dominated the plate. Let's just see where the Orioles go from here.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's still a lot of concerns with this team, namely, you know, Suarez is on the mound today, and I think you'll see why the concerns are there. The starting pitching is a bit of a mess, not because of their own fault, but simply because the injuries across the board are just crazy to their starting rotation. All the guys they thought outside of Burns that would be in this rotation are now have either had surgery or going to be out forever. So I do think Baltimore is going to be one of the more active teams come the trade deadline. They need arms if they're going to be serious about winning a championship.
Let me ask you a question about the Rangers, too, because that whole AL West is baffling to me from start to finish. You're the World Series champions here, the Texas Rangers. They're 37-44, much like we just talked about the Toronto Blue Jays. So I know we're around that halfway point, right? I think it's a little bit played a little bit more than halfway point, but usually we take a look at that All-Star break as the true one. Okay, decompress, take a look at your team going into the trade deadline. What do we have? What do we make of the Rangers? Like, are they just dead in the water? Are we waiting for them to wake up, or are they are what they are at 37-44?
I mean, we can point to, is DeGrom coming back and Scherzer and all. The reality is they stink because they can't hit their lineup, and there's no reason to it. I mean, Jung is coming back, their rookie third baseman who was phenomenal last year. Maybe that can help. But when that lineup should be scoring 6 to 10 runs a game, and they are not, and that's a big reason why they're 37-44.
Yeah, take a look at those standings out there in the West real quick. Like, the Rangers are 8 games back. The Astros only 4.5. Why? Because the Seattle Mariners, who finally, you know, got back on that win streak here. When I say win streak, they won 1 game. They're 4-6 in their last 10. Yep. There's a lot of areas to improve, and you're right about that. You look at that Rangers roster because they're trying to get some of those aging starting pitchers back to make a difference, the Max Scherzers, the Jacob deGroms, if he's going to appear. And that could have a shot in the arm. But I look at that roster 1-9 and say, this is not an under 500 roster. They're just not performing up to the capabilities. And as I said, with the Houston Astros, I've sort of put a fork in them, but now we find ourselves at 40-40 with the Astros, winners of 7 games in a row. It's a long season. You can turn it around, and we are going to talk much more baseball next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Members of the Right Side family were in the ball yard yesterday at Citizens Bank Park down in South Philadelphia to watch a team that was favored, Joe Ranieri, at a minus 300 price or higher, depending where you were shopping at yesterday. Should have been an easy victory. Zach Wheeler was on the mound. Zach Wheeler was really good through 7 innings of that game. But as you see that final score in the graphic that's going to appear, it's 7-4 Marlins. It might as well have been 117-4 the Marlins, the way I felt driving home. Now, let me preface this, Joe, because I don't know if it's me, and maybe it's just me. One of the Phillies games I went to, I believe it was last year. It had to be within the past 2 years. The New York Mets were in town. The New York Mets, I think the Phillies had them down like 7 or 8-1 and ended up losing that game in the late innings here. Just a massive comeback. 2022. There you go. So thank you for the producers behind the scenes. Now, I was at that game, but I had left when they had a 6 or 7 run lead. I drove home and listened to, like, oh, my goodness, were we like the bad luck charm? We should have stayed. So yesterday, I had a long day. Took the daughter down to the ballpark. We watched. It was fantastic. The Phillies are up 3-0. I said, you know what? Let's go grab you some ice cream. We're going to walk back to the car. We're going to head home. By the time I got to the car, it was 4-3 Marlins. Like, the minute I left the ballpark here, they started to lose. And as I drove home and listened and got home, they started to get injured. Schwarber goes down with a groin injury. Bryce Harper on the final out of the game looks like he got hit by a sniper from the upper deck in his leg. He's probably out weeks, if not months right now. So I just wanted to vent right now. Joe Ranieri, is it me? Is it me?
It was kind of crazy watching it unfold, Donnie, because it made no sense. You kind of had the feeling, though, when they kept Miami in the game. 3-0 was not great. You had a lot of people that laid the run line last night with Philadelphia as a $3 favorite. You said a lot of guys had tickets on -1.5 runs. And you're going, I wish they would have a few more runs on the board. And then, of course, the seventh inning came, Donnie, and this was all a catalyst by the bullpen of Philadelphia once again not being able to get it done. And then it's just you add insult to injury with the injuries, really, with Harper pulling up lame with some sort of hamstring issue, and the Schwarber. If it could go wrong, it did go wrong, all from the seventh inning on in that game, Donnie. Unbelievable. Absolutely unreal.
Like, and again, it's one of those teams that Miami's just dead in the water. They're just playing out the string at this point for the fact that they were able to muster a comeback. And also, as you point out, that bullpen, like Strom and Hoffman have been absolutely sensational this year. And this is not, well, hey, look, eventually, you know, Judge and Soto are going to catch up to you in the late innings. There are no name brand names in that Marlins lineup. And I understand it's a long season. If you would have told me, hey, look at that, that's just a bad thing. You know, Wheeler had 115 pitches, got pulled from the game. Bullpen couldn't hold it. It is what it is. But the fact that you lost two All-Stars on the same day, on top of Real Muto, you're fighting still together. Like, did you watch Trey Turner yesterday? He still can't move around. They're using him as a DH just to get the bat in the lineup, but he's built on speed and doesn't really even have any speed at this point. So tough loss for the Phillies on the field, but even worse for what that lineup is now going to look forward to over the next 3 to 4 weeks at this point. That All-Star break certainly can't come up quickly here. Now, if we take another look, one team that we expect here that's going to win baseball games, it's the Atlanta Braves. The Phillies were a $3 favorite yesterday. Do you know on the road was another $3 favorite? That was the Atlanta Braves. Final score, White Sox. Mm-hmm. Worst team of baseball, 1. The Atlanta Braves, 0. And by the way, Joe, I like to dip my toes in the water sometime and have fun with alternate team totals. I'll buy them down to 2.5, put a couple in there, you know, use it as a parlay, plus 110, plus 120, plus 130. I had two teams go ballistic yesterday. Do you know what my third team was? It was the Atlanta Braves, and they couldn't score in a Chad Kuhl start. What's up with the Braves yesterday? Come on.
Chad Kuhl, they had their ace on him and Chris Sale, too, and couldn't win a game for him. Like, come on, against the White Sox, who were just hobbling pitchers together and throwing them out there. Just, you know, those getaway day games, Donnie, are head-scratching. They really, really are. It was as if nobody on Atlanta wanted to be there. It was one of those games where, can we hurry up and just get this thing over? They even threw Kopech out there to White Sox, and they still couldn't score a run. Which now you know they had no interest in winning that game. Unbelievable. And Sale pitched great, by the way, and still couldn't get the win.
Hey, I put my notifications on. Like I'm kind of quirky. Like, I'll have my phone with me, but I'll set it so it buzzes my watch when something happens. And typically in some of those games, well, if it's a home run or an RBI prop, it cashes, you get it, you know, sent to your wristwatch. But, okay, great. I had to hit my watch like 14 times. I'm like, you can't tell me Atlanta is not scoring. There's got to be an error on this update here. And then I said, I just needed 3 runs in that alt-team total yesterday. Just 3 here. They didn't score at all. The other two games both had double-digit run scoring. But when I saw that Ozuna fly out a wall with 2 runners on and 2 outs, I believe it was in the 7th inning, heartbreak here. But as always, we'll bounce back at that point. And so Atlanta. Atlanta did waste an unbelievable performance once again. It is what it is. Hour number 2 is about to be underway. More Bronny James talk, more Major League Baseball, more hot topics. You came to the right place.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as 1 day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.